BlakeRadio.com and click the Listen Now button.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case,
of this I'm certain.
I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each
and every highway
and more,
much more than this, I did it my way.
You're a little off there, Carl.
Yeah, I know. I was never known for my voice, man. At least not my singing voice.
It was your timing.
Is that what it was? Frankie, this song they always play at weddings and bar mitzvahs at the end of the night.
Yeah, at the end of the bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, they play this and it means it's over.
Time to go home. Time to get out. They want to clean the place up and throw all the food away.
Exactly.
How you doing, Aaron?
I'm okay, Carl. This is number 100. We made it to 100 at least.
100 shows. Could you imagine? That's not counting the live remotes and stuff, right? Is that counting them as well?
I don't know. I haven't went through like that. I think there's a few extra if you cut the live remotes, because we would do like 91 A and B or whatever, you know?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. Anyway, it's a bittersweet evening, because the truth of the matter is the show is coming to an end, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna be doing something new.
In this format, the show is coming to an end, yeah.
Right, but you're going on and carrying the torch, and you're going to do something new that we can't discuss tonight, right? But you are going to reveal that to people as it's ready to be revealed, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it more later on. I mean, everybody knows I've been doing Heavy Muscle Radio with Dave, and that will continue,
right?
In actually a greater aspect than it has been. So, you know, I don't want to give away the whole deal, because Heavy Muscle Radio in general will be changing dramatically starting. In a few weeks.
Right.
I don't even want to give away the date. That's really Dave's announcement.
Yeah, right. And that's his announcement to make. I understand that. Hold on a second.
If you listen on Monday, we'll have several announcements about my future with the show and what the show is going to be and et cetera and et cetera. So I don't want to, like, beat him to the punch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I will let him do that. But, yeah, you'll definitely hear me on Heavy Muscle Radio. And there is plans for something else. And you know, I still have to talk to Dave about it, but I'm hoping to continue on a Wednesday night to do some sort of
absolutely
strictly forum member show.
Yeah, there you go.
It'll be you know, I don't know. People always say that Off Topic was meant to be a show for the, like we said, a show for the forum member, by the forum members, for the forum members, right? But if we do it this way, how I'm thinking, it will be literally that. There'll be, you know, just forum members.
Right, and it'll be an RX Muscle.
It'll be an RX Muscle
forum
product.
Show, right, exactly.
It'll be branded.
Because the truth of the matter is, when we first started doing the show, it was supposed to be for all the forums, but we really didn't put enough effort into all the other forums. We really just focused here on RX Muscle, so might as well just have a show about RX Muscle then.
Well, we did have members off top. I mean, we did have Get Big people on the radio show.
We did. You're right. We had a lot of things happen. I mean, when you think about the beginning of the show, when we first started doing the show, a lot of different things happened through the course of the show. I was thinking about it before we went on the air. I remember Original Sin, that girl, the blonde-haired girl from Get Big, she died mysteriously. Remember, probably about 3 or 4 months after we started doing the show. Remember that?
Yeah. A lot of stuff has happened. We had Milos Sarcev on several times,
and he's gotten his IFBB pro card back, right? since
yes,
then.
He's got he's had all kinds of drama. Do you know what's going on with Milos?
Well, the last time I heard, they were foreclosing on Coliseum Gym, and he was arrested.
He went to jail several times recently.
They said he was trying to steal stuff, right? But he was actually just trying to get his belongings out of the gym before they padlocked it.
It's a whole deal. He has a tumor, a cancerous tumor.
I didn't know that.
Supposedly, and poor Milos is kind of in bad shape. So
I didn't know that. I'm so sorry to hear that.
I like him a lot. So hopefully everything in his life gets better. And you know, I always wanted to see Milos compete again. Now I'm not sure that'll ever happen. But I hope his life is happier, because we did like having him on, and he was great when we had him on.
Yeah.
We've had Derek Anthony on a bunch of times. We had the Schmo Show. Remember that one?
Some of our earlier shows were groundbreaking. I kind of feel that, I kind of feel we got sidetracked. The Schmo Show was one of the best. And when having Dominique Danger on describing the dominatrix world and how she would torture these guys. I mean, the one thing that sticks out in my mind from her interview was she said that she used a 60-milliliter syringe to pump air into a guy's scrotum and then used the high heel, the spike of her heel to pop his scrotum like a balloon.
Right. We had the show with everybody. We had, what do we have, like 10 or 15 people on to talk about Dan Duchesne?
No, we had 10. Yeah, people. Yeah, we had five, a, yeah, five yeah.
Five or six of his friends, closest friends.
Right, to talk right. About talk Dan about, Duchesne. That was a great show.
One of the Barbarian Brothers on with Christian Boving.
That was funny. And I totally dissed his book, remember? I was like,
Yes, of course.
Ah, we've seen all these pictures before. I was like, there's really nothing special about this book.
Yes. We've had Anthony Roberts on a few times before he became persona non grata.
Yes, to the that's extreme. Right. That's right. That's right. And we had Brian Clapp on too.
We had Brian Clapp on as one of the first shows, Anthony's arch nemesis.
Right. And those two shows were great because people listened to Anthony tear Brian Clapp up, and then they heard Brian Clapp come on and tear Anthony up. It was kind of like
he didn't like it. Remember?
The rival show, yeah,
Brian
yeah.
Was on second, so he kind of got the last word.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian was the owner of Bodybuilding Pro or Pro
Bodybuilding? No, ProBodybuilding.com, which never really got off the ground, I guess.
Yeah, now defunct, I believe.
Yeah.
We had that one show where you weren't on the show, and I did the show with Anthony Roberts as the guest host.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had BLP on. Remember?
Yep. Yep.
Somehow I put that all together myself.
Yeah, I know.
It actually sounded
good.
Okay, didn't it?
Yeah.
I have to go back and listen to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that.
We had Quincy Taylor on a few times. I'm looking through all the shows here. We have had Patrick Arnold calling unexpectedly, remember?
Yes. Oh, and we had the director and producer of Bigger, Stronger, Faster, Chris Bell, on the show while he was doing cardio. He did the show. Well, remember that?
He was on the stair climber.
He was on the stair climber while we were doing the show. People oh, man, did you see the artwork that Kenny Cola, famous Kenny Cola, his stuff is some of the best. You know, That's All Folks from Looney Tunes? It's got a picture of me and you. Yeah, it's in the thread. He's got a picture of me and you, and it says That's All Folks, and it's the same That's All Folks from the Looney Tunes cartoons. It's really cute. It's a picture of me. That's a picture of me and you at the first Olympia we did when we were doing the show.
Yeah. I'm looking to see.
Oh, damn. They got me. They got Elvis. They got Elvis's body with my head on it. That is too funny. That is hilarious.
Actually, if people are interested, they can go to my Facebook page, and I have cataloged all of Kenny Cola and the rest of the guys, Swede, all of their artwork.
We got to put these up there too. These are really great.
I'll save these also. Yeah. So let's see who else, Carl. I'm trying to go over all the.
I mean, there's some 100 shows. I mean, how do you recall them all? Some of the funnier shows. Remember when we did the award show?
Was good.
Yeah, right. What do we call it? The Dirty Syringe or something? What do we call that again? The Golden Syringe. Awards. Yeah, the Golden Syringe Award.
We had Iris Kyle on. She said that was the best interview she had ever done in her 15-year career.
Right, right. And we didn't talk about anything about bodybuilding.
Right, that was great.
Right, right.
We had Luke Wood talking about his problems with his kidney disease.
That's right. That's right.
Land from Australia. That was a $400 interview for me because I called him on my cell phone, and for whatever reason, I thought it would be the same as calling to Canada, and I was a moron because it ended up being like $3 a minute.
Wow. Wow. I have to say, I actually listened to the show that we did with Young Guns.
Yeah.
I think I was funny.
I thought you were funny too.
But some people were critical about it. They said that, you know, I was like either too harsh with him. I think the funniest line was when I asked him if he had a girlfriend, and when he said no, I said, what did you do, forget to lock the door one day? I mean, I thought that was like the funniest line entirely.
I thought it was funny, too. We had Jose Raymond on a bunch of times. Obviously, PJ Braun. We had Kevin Lavroni on. That was a big moment for me. I thought that was talking to Kevin Lavroni on the phone. Because he was like, you know, when I was a teenager, that's one of my, you know, idols in bodybuilding.
Right, right.
Obviously, we had Liberatore on a bunch of times. We had Ben White.
Ben was funny. Ben is always funny. Yeah, he's got a good sense of humor.
I'm just looking through all these. There's a long, long list of people.
Yeah.
Ed Connors we had recently. That was relatively recent.
Yeah, but that was a good interview, too, because he was very insightful about back in the day with Gold's Gym out in Venice and all the athletes that stayed in homes that he had. That really, I mean, guys like who's the wrestler that stayed with him that he said that?
John Cena.
Yeah, I mean, John Cena wouldn't have gotten his start if it wasn't for Ed, because John was able to train out at Gold's in Venice and lived in one of his homes in Venice. And I mean, you know, he gave so many athletes their start.
Right. It's we had all of my saga of preparing for the contest, getting sick after the contest.
Yeah.
If you guess you call it sick. Amy Nichols breaking up, getting together, all this stuff. Drama with her.
Right.
Having her on the show.
Yep. Yep.
God, that's an evil bitch.
almost like you had to think about it for a second to realize.
Yeah, I couldn't, you know, I probably should have said that, but she's evil, Jesus.
That's okay. That's okay.
You know, Lee Thompson we've had on a bunch of times. Anyway, there a lot has changed.
And I went from being the male Joy Behar, a woman hating club leader, to falling in love, and you know, somehow, I mean, completely changing my attitude and profile in 180 degrees.
Your personality in general.
Yeah, well, I don't know about my person, and I know that, and we're going to talk about this because you're mad at me, right? I mean, someone told me that you're mad at me. So tell me why you're mad.
Who told you I was mad at you?
I'm not going to give anybody up. Come on, you know that. I'm Italian.
You couldn't pick that up on your own. You needed somebody to tell you.
Well, no, I didn't pick it up on my own because I'm busy working and you're busy doing your thing, and I didn't know you were mad at me. But tell me why. Tell me why. Come on.
Well, you know, I thought about this because I called you to talk to you about the banter portion of the show, which we're doing now.
Right.
And you mentioned that I was mad at you. And to be honest with you, I wasn't even going to bring it up because, it's the last show, and I didn't know if you wanted to end, you know, 100 shows by talking about why I was mad at you.
Well, yeah, it could be cathartic.
Really legitimate reasons.
Well, it could be cathartic. It could be cathartic then.
Okay. Well, so I'm gonna do it.
Okay.
So, I think I started getting mad at you honestly at the Olympia.
Right.
So this has been a long, you know, I'm able to, you know, we work together. And we've been friends a long time, and for a long time there, I consider you basically one of my closest friends, if not the closest friend.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes to bring up something like this, I just hope it goes away.
Right, right.
Since it didn't go away, and to me, it kept getting more and more, worse and worse. I think it really started for me at the Olympia, because we had talked for weeks before the Olympia about how excited we were going to go to the Olympia. I hadn't seen you in a while. We were going to hang out. We were going to, you know, hopefully get sponsors for the off-topic radio. You know, basically it was planned to hang out. Then a few weeks before, you told me you met this girl, which I didn't know. You know?
Right.
And you said, you know, you want to make sure that we show her a good time and I'm nice to her, you know.
And then I didn't let anybody around her.
you said, you know, you want to impress her and everything. And I understood all that. And you were very interested in her and everything, but there had been no physical relationship.
Right.
It was all long distance.
Right, right.
So, you know, you can only be, I mean, you were very into her considering that there wasn't anything like that and it was long distance.
Right.
But you had told me how I understood it was you had got two hotel rooms.
Right. One for you, one for her, and one for you and I. Right.
Right. And one for your buddy. If he came, he would stay with her or something like that.
That's right.
So regardless, it was going to be us four, your buddy Billy, and her, and then me and you, because you didn't want to assume that you were going to be in her room.
Right.
And
because at that point in time, she and I really didn't spend any time together at all. Right.
Right. So you didn't want to assume anything.
Right.
So you were getting a room for her and a room for us. And right. if you were in her room, Billy would be in the room with me.
Right.
Okay. So with that in mind, you didn't want to stay at a shitty hotel.
Right.
Which is understandable. You didn't want to stay at the Sahara or one of these ones that was close or in the Orleans because it, you know, to be, for the money that we could get a room that was reasonable close to the Orleans, it would have been,
much more expensive.
It would have been either much more expensive to get a comparable room, or we would get a room for the same price or cheaper that would have been
a crap hole, right.
Yeah, and you didn't want that.
Of course not.
Which is understandable. You
right.
know? So basically, you were covering the rooms because you were getting two rooms anyway.
Right.
And so I said, you know, it's no big deal. You're going to have a car there because you're driving down. So it didn't really matter that the hotel was, 20 miles away or whatever.
Right.
That we were staying at. We stayed at,
And it wasn't 20 miles away. It was probably like 5 miles away from the venue.
It was $38 cab ride. That's really what it comes down to. Before a tip, it was a $38 cab ride. So I, what I thought we were going there to do.
Well, let me ask you a question before we go any further. If I would have told you that I was going to be preoccupied, would you have rented a car?
No, I would never have stayed at that fucking hotel.
Ah. Okay.
I would never have stayed at that hotel.
Where would you have stayed?
I would have stayed either with somebody in somebody's room that I'm friends with, or I would have got a.
Well, I had already paid for the hotel. You could have stayed somewhere else if you wanted to. I mean, it wasn't like you had to stay in that room because it was already paid for, and I really got a good deal on.
I didn't want to, since I was under the impression you were paying for the room. I didn't want to be like, I'm not going to stay in the room Carl already paid for.
Well, I mean, if you would have met a girl and you would have ended up in her room.
Yeah, but I didn't meet any girl.
Well, but you know what I'm saying. It wouldn't be like, well, H.E. Aaron, don't go home with this girl because you have a room waiting for you that I paid for. I mean, I wouldn't have done
right.
that.
Right. No, of course not.
Right.
And I had a room to myself anyway. If I had a girl, I would have brought her to that room.
Right.
But, so.
As long as she had a car.
Or she'd have to pay half the cab.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So I went there with the intentions thinking, we were going to be able to, cause I hadn't seen you in what, 9 months or something?
Since the Phoenix Pro.
So I don't know, whatever, 8 months, 7 months, whatever it was.
Right.
So I thought we were going to get to hang out and, do all this stuff. We had made plans, but in reality, when we got there, I think I saw you a total of, maybe an hour for the entire weekend.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit longer. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. You're right. but you saw me an hour longer than anybody else saw me too.
That may be true. That may right. be true. So the plans got totally changed.
Right.
And I felt like, not only was I not being able to hang out with you, I was in this hotel that I was having to get a cab back and forth. But I justified that by, the fact that you were paying for the hotel, it was your room anyway. So
right.
I'm getting off. So anyway, You spent a lot of money on the girl at this trip. We didn't get to see each other, and I didn't do any ad sales. One of the other things that bothered me was that people, we've been talking about it on the radio for such a long time, that there were so many people there at the Olympia that asked me where you were.
Right.
After like the 50th person, I started getting really aggravated, and I couldn't get you on the phone. I couldn't get you to text me back. So it was like all these people, I felt like we're letting down all the fans. And I felt like you didn't give a fuck. Who cared about the fans? You're
with
your girlfriend.
Well, it wasn't that I didn't give a fuck. But yes, you're right. I was with someone that I was in love with.
I felt like it was very selfish.
Well, what's that?
I felt like that was very selfish.
Well, but I don't care. I'm fucking me. What do I fucking care about? Why? In other words,
That's a selfish attitude.
But big deal. You're selfish too.
That's the definition.
But you're selfish too. I'm not the only person who's selfish here. When we first started doing this show, I created this show for you so that you could model what I had done with Superhuman Radio. My hopes were you were going to take the ball. You were going to sell advertising. You were going to build the show. We were going to do the show together. I was giving you entree to something. That never materialized. We tried to get Amy to sell advertising because
so
you didn't want to.
That's why you're with your girlfriend the whole time the weekend.
No. You're saying about being selfish. You said selfish.
I'm talking about that weekend.
I'm not apologizing for that weekend. I had a great time. I bonded with her, and it was a wonderful opportunity for me to be in Las Vegas with her. I did business. I met with people, but it was related to Superhuman Radio. I didn't meet with people related to off topic, but I did business. I picked up some clients and then I enjoyed myself too. And as far as people not seeing me, I could have been at the venue and people may not have found me. I mean,
they
I had this.
Me.
But you were walking around looking for people, right?
They're looking for, I know I'm just walking around.
No, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, you were there looking to meet people, right? I wasn't interested. Like, I wasn't looking. Like I was not there. Like I was not there. I was not there looking to meet people at that point in time. My agenda changed from
right.
when
well,
I was.
I wasn't aware of this change until I was there.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
That's when I started. That aggravated me. You know.
Hey, listen. There's a lot of things that aggravate me too. But you know what? You learn to live with aggravation. You can't make people do the things you want them to do. You got to live with what people do. So I mean, I'm sorry if I offended anybody by not making myself available at the Olympia, but I don't see anybody fucking jumping through hoops. You know, I mean, I'm just a person. I know everybody likes the show and they and maybe they wanted to meet me and all that sort of stuff. And I'm flattered by that, but I'm just a person. And I was there. My agenda had changed and I was very focused on being with Miss X and really nothing else mattered to me. And ironically, I guess John Romano did the same thing from what I understand with his girlfriend.
I mean, he didn't go to the after party, but a lot of more people saw John.
Well, okay. Well, there you go. So, you know what?
You asked me why am I mad at you.
No. I know, but I'm answering you. It's like, I understand that you were mad about that, but that, you know, you're 3x7, and so am I. I mean, you know, that's sort of stuff you can get over, you know, but okay. So let's move on. Let's move on. So what else?
This aggravated me. And I felt like you're saying, like I'm happy for you to be happy. That's good. I'm glad. It just felt like there's other times, you know, it just seemed like bad timing.
There was no other time. I had met Miss X once before, and that's when I realized that there was chemistry there. And when I got to Las Vegas, I didn't want to do anything but spend time with her. And anybody that's listening to the show in this audience right now, who has not ever felt that for somebody where the world disappears and fades away because you just want to be with this one person. If they've felt that way, then they understand what I'm talking about.
And I have.
Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, I'm sure that you could. Yeah. Go ahead.
The difference is that I would feel fucked up if I was in your situation being you thinking like if I put myself in that situation, I think, you know, that I would still, you know, I would feel like that I'm here, you know, I don't know.
I don't feel fucked up about it.
I know you don't.
No, I mean, I do what I do and that's what I do. And I don't make any apologies for it. I give people everything I can on this show. I opened up my heart and my soul on the show. I shared everything I could. But when I'm off the air, I'm just a human being who wants to enjoy themselves. And that weekend, my focus was Miss X and nothing else. And I make no apologies about it. I'm sorry that I feel bad that you are hurt by it. But if the shoe was on the other foot and you had met, you know, some figure pro and you would have disappeared for the weekend, I wouldn't have fucking cared. I would have been like, more power to you. I would have found my own way around. But then again, you know, we're different people. That's it.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, so what else? Let's go to the next. You're mad about something else too, right?
Well, I mean, basically, you know, when you decided you didn't want to do the show, that was just one thing. You know,
right,
if it was just
right.
that and over with, then it would be no big deal.
Right, right.
When you decided you didn't want to do the show, I tried to compromise with you and you just didn't want to do it no matter what. You know, we talked about recording the show at any time that was preferable to you, making the show shorter, me going out and I told you, if I get a few more, ad sales and we have bring in more revenue right away, will you do it? You said no. So there was no compromising. You know, it's just like a relationship. When you're in a relationship, you try to compromise unless you want out no matter what.
But you know what? We have 100 shows under our belt. All those things that's like and let's use the relationship analogy. Let's say a husband and wife, right? And the husband, he sits on the sofa all night long. He drinks fucking beer. He farts. He picks his ass, and he doesn't want to work. And the wife keeps going, look, get a job, do this. And then after a while, she tunes out and she says, fuck it. He's not going to do anything. I'm just going to tune out. And then it gets to a point where she's like, I'm leaving. And he's like, no, baby, don't leave. I'll get a job. I'll fucking do this. It's like too late. The time for all that shit was like months after the show started, and we went. I mean, so it's like I didn't want to do this show when we first started doing the show. I didn't want to stay as the co-host of this show. The objective was always to launch you, find somebody to take this spot here on this microphone here, and you guys go on and launch this show. Just like Oprah doesn't want to have to do Dr. Oz's show every weekend. She launched him on her show and then she pushed him out and he has his own show. That was always the objective, but it never came to fruition because there wasn't enough effort being put forth on the other side of the fence to make all that shit come true. And then I was like sequestered. I was like stuck here. Like, okay, now I have to do this show and I have to keep doing it.
What do you have to do? You have to come on the radio for 2 hours and be you and press record. And then after
I have to build the show. No, there's more that goes into it. And then after the show is over and everybody's waiting for it to be uploaded and rendered, there is more. And I don't want to work, and I don't want to work this late at night. I don't want to work
what
this.
It is, right? Well, of that's course. Why I said we could record it earlier, but you didn't want to do
no,
it.
No, and, but you know what? I had other things that came to me. As you know, the Body RX show, there's two other shows that have come to me that I'm going to be launching first quarter of next year for two other groups. And those things came to me, and it was like, holy shit, I'm not going to have time to do all of this. And then I'm looking at Off Topic, and I'm thinking, wow, this show has actually, you know, it's actually eating up the time that I could be putting forth over here. And quite frankly, to answer probably one of your other things that you're mad about me is that you probably feel that I've changed recently, that my personality has changed. You're absolutely right. There is no fucking doubt about it. And I'll tell you why I've changed. I kind of was like a leaf blowing in the wind before, and I wasn't in a rush to do anything, and I was vacillating whether I should move to Puerto Vallarta or San Diego. And then I fell in love, and now all of a sudden it's like I have a path in front of me. It's detailed. I know what I have to do, and I have no time to waste anymore. And so I had a shit to get off the pot, basically. I said, look, what am I going to do? Am I going to start focusing on the things that I need to do to get my life straightened out, to get the warrant lifted from me in Louisville, to get all my shit taken care of once and for all and put my shoulder behind the wheel and get it done? Or am I going to keep meandering and floundering and doing this and doing that and kind of having half a hand here and half a hand there? And I thought to myself, I got to tighten my shit up and get it over with. I got to get things done. And so sometimes when you come to those realizations in life, you have to cut some things. You have to cut some things off. You have to, you know, like if you decide to go to college and you want to get a college education, it means you got to study. And sometimes you also have to get a job, which means you can't hang out with your friends. And so that's like your friends get pissed off. They're like, hey, you don't come around anymore. Yeah, I know, but it's because I'm going to college all day long, and then I'm working at night, and then I got to study, and I got no time to come around. And that's where I am now. I'm refining my life and getting focused. And unfortunately, I had to like shave some shit that I just didn't have any time for anymore. So you know, there's no doubt about it. My personality has changed. I become more narrowly focused. This is the way I used to be when I ran other businesses. I was very narrowly focused. Get the job done. Be focused. The past couple years, I've been floundering because I went through a divorce. My head was up my ass. I was angry at the fucking world. You know, all the things that I shared on this show. But now all of a sudden I got my center again. And I guess people are not used to me being this way, but this is the way I really am. I'm very, very narrowly focused.
Right.
And I feel bad. I don't want you to, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I like you. I care about you. I developed this show for you so that you would have a launch pad. And I kind of feel good because actually I feel like you're going to launch and do other things that are going to continue to allow you to progress. You're going to launch new radio shows and host them. You'll continue to be, a presence in the bodybuilding community. So I don't feel bad about this. I feel like this had its run and it lasted.
I don't feel bad about it either. Yeah, I feel fantastic about
good,
it.
Good. Okay.
No, I mean, this has been a huge, ridiculously huge success for me.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, I went from,
and I'm happy about that. I want you to do better. I want you to go on and do better.
You know, I'm unhappy with you,
for selfish reasons. I'm going to tell you. Look, we're being honest. You're unhappy with me for selfish reasons because you feel like you lost your friend. Be honest.
Well, yeah.
That's just as self. So you're being selfish too, just like you're accusing me of being selfish when all I want to do is focus on Miss X at the Olympia. And it's okay.
You're over focusing. That's one small facet. I mean, how you've conducted yourself in the last few shows.
How have I conducted myself? Oh, because I took a phone call. Yes, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, you were taking calls during the show.
But that's because I wanted to be off this show months ago.
Well, why don't we just do that? Why don't you just tell me?
Because we needed because we needed advertising revenue, and you kept wanting me to sell all the advertising, and I got my fucking hands full with Superhuman Radio and everything else I'm doing. If you would have jumped on the fucking gun and sold advertising from the get-go like you were supposed to, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. This show would be an enormous success. You'd be taking down big money. I'd be taking down big money, and this show would go on. If you want to know the truth, that's what it is.
Oh.
100 shows.
I agree. I should have started selling more advertising.
But you know what? It's okay. But it's okay. It's okay.
The reason the show made it to 100 is because I produced every one of these shows.
Well, when you say you produced them, you found the guests, you interviewed the guests, and you put that together. You absolutely did that. You're
right.
credited with that.
If I didn't do any of that, then what would you have done the show? You'd have been just talking.
No. I wouldn't have done the show. But that's why.
There is a division of labor. You're not doing everything, and I'm just watching.
No, absolutely not. But when on Superhuman Radio, I sell all the advertising. I got 22 advertisers right now. Now that I put my head down and got fucking busy again. Okay.
Right.
Okay. I sell all the advertising. I create most of the radio spots. I write the spot copy. I manage the website. I produce the shows. I host the shows. That was the goal, to give you that. That gift, to give you that, so that you could create this nucleus for yourself. But you saw your job as just producing the shows. I don't see my job as just producing Superhuman Radio. I see my job as doing every fucking thing in Superhuman Radio. And that's what it took.
I never looked at it that way. I always looked at it as a partnership, not my baby. It was always our baby.
Okay. Well, people see things differently. What can I say?
Yeah.
But it's okay. Okay. It was fun. It was fun. We had a great time. You know, we made a lot of people laugh. We brought some entertainment to people, and you have launched a career, and that's the important thing.
Absolutely.
And if you are mad at me, I'm sorry that you're mad at me. I'm sorry if I let you down in any way, shape, or form, but I am just a simple human being trying to get through this life as easy as possible and find some joy in it at the same time. And right now I'm very, very narrowly focused on my goals.
Well, you know, I wish you well. I know. Honestly, I'm a little concerned for you, but I wish you well.
Why are you concerned for me?
Oh, because you're a 52-year-old man, and you changed overnight. It's scary to think that you could do that.
Well, no. I changed overnight because someone unlocked my soul.
Yeah, what happens if that it doesn't work out to be everything you thought it was going to be?
Well, I guess I'll cross that bridge when it comes, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. And I think I'm one of the things that I've been gifted with is, I'm a very, very good judge of character and for people. And, I feel very confident that this is going to work out the way I want it to. However, if it doesn't, I deal with it then. What am I going to do? In the meantime, I'm living in a wonderful world of happiness for the first time in 20 something years, because I wasn't happy in my marriage.
I just hope that continues, you know.
I'm sure. Well, you know what? There's no hoping about it. Relationships are work, you know.
Right.
So,
well, I kind of think back to when you were, you know, I think maybe you're always like this. You're just when you were like Craig Titus in jail. Craig Titus says, you know, he likes to smoke now. He'll never work out again.
No, that's cognitive dissonance. I know what you're talking about.
I think you had a little of that.
No, cognitive dissonance.
You always wanted a girlfriend in a relationship.
But
you were just mad at your wife and saying, "Oh, you don't want that."
Well, no. Bad. No, I deep down
in reality,
inside,
you wanted a woman
yes,
the whole time.
I wanted someone to love like I have now. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I wanted it for many, many years, but it evaded me. When I was very young and I got stung in a bad relationship, I shut myself off, and I only ever went with women who wanted me more than I wanted them, because that's a very safe place to be. Because that's a place where you can go, "Oh, you don't want to see me anymore? See ya," because I have no emotional investment. And the truth is, even in my marriage, I always had one foot out the door. I never wanted to be in my marriage, and the reality is that I was miserable in my marriage, and I felt exploited in my marriage. And so yes, you're absolutely right. But this is the first time for me that I actually have fallen in love with somebody that I want more than probably they want me. And so, And it's scary. Trust me on this one. This is new ground for me. And you're right. 52 years old. It's hard to put yourself in that kind of risky situation, but this woman is worth it to me. And you know what? I'd rather put my heart on the line now and get stung this time around than look back when I'm 60 and go, why didn't I act on that when I met her? Because that will be a much more miserable place for me to be then than at least having this, what I have now. And that's the God's honest truth. And you know what? In your, and here I am. This is the same guy that just a few months ago was motherfucking every woman out there, and they were all miserable and they're all hateful and I'll never be in a relationship anymore and this is bullshit, marriage sucks and everything else. I'll tell you something right now. If she wanted me to marry her, I'd marry her tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that scares me.
No, but don't be scared for me. Don't be scared for me. I know what I'm doing.
Okay.
I know what I'm doing.
I hope you do. I hope you're right.
You know what? This is, I'm in a good place right now. This is where I've always wanted to be in this place, but I just never could, it always evaded me. And so I never met a woman. I never met anyone before that I wanted to take this kind of risk with.
Well, I don't know. You used to make fun of John Romano for putting I love you on his Facebook, and now you're doing it yourself.
Well, what can I say? What can I say? You know what? I was bitter. I was shut off. I was cold and angry. And I'm not bitter and I'm not shut off and I'm not cold and angry anymore. Now I'm this is a wonderful place to be where I am. This is a healthier place to be where I am now than where I was before.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that.
So, but it you know what? I'm at peace with my decisions for the first time in my life as it comes to, when it comes to this situation, it comes to love. Because really, I really didn't love my wife. I got forced into a marriage that I didn't want to be in, and then she got pregnant immediately, and there was no way for me to get out, and I always felt like a trapped animal, and that's the God's honest truth. And all of my relationships that I look back at, I was always with women that I really could take or leave, but they wanted me so desperately, it made me feel good, so okay, this is a good place to be. But this is the first time that this is, the shoe is on the other foot. And you're right. It is a big risk. I'm vulnerable. But you know what? Nothing has ever felt so right to me before. So there you go.
You know, that's good. We're delving back into the Carl's in Love monologue.
No, we're not. Well, you're asking me questions. I'm answering you.
Well, honestly, I'm happy for you. As long as it all works out and ends well, then it's fantastic. And I guess we'll know that eventually. Or
there you go.
You're moving back to Louisville, so it's gonna
I know.
I'll be seeing her all the time.
Right. My focused effort is paying off, and I'm finally getting the. Actually, everything is in place.
You're gonna be back in Louisville this weekend, right, for the show?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So I guess if people are in Louisville, they can see you at the show, huh?
That's right.
Will they be able to meet Miss X?
If she wants to be met, yeah. She's a very private person, you know, and she's not interested in, she's not looking for any, exposure or fame, and I respect that.
Good. Well,
so I want to put this behind us that you're mad at me.
Okay.
Okay. So I want to, kiss and make up now on the microphone. Let's go. There we go. No, really. Look, I understand where you're coming from, and I didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anything like that, but, you know, lives take paths, and they don't always parallel each other. So there you go.
Yeah, I don't want to beleaguer it. I mean, there's obviously, I could say more, but I guess that's good enough.
Okay. All right. So what else are we talking about?
I do want to say that in the long run, you know, to leave this on a positive note, is that I am absolutely happy with from episode 1 to 100 where I've come in my life from then to now is tremendous. And you know, when I first heard your radio show, Superhuman Radio, and wrote that email critiquing it, I never imagined, you know, 2 years later I'd be here.
Right.
You know, not in my wildest imagination. So, you know, this has been a great success for me, and I thank you for allowing me to have the success.
Of course, of course.
Remember how nervous I was the first time I interviewed you on Superhuman Radio?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember how many takes we had to do for me to get it right?
Yeah, but then what happened was right after the second break, you got really relaxed and you were like on your game already. And that's when I knew that you could do radio. I knew it at that moment. I thought this kid's got a great voice. He's got a distinctive voice that people will recognize. You're well educated. You're well read. You have a wide variety of interests, and I always knew that you'd do well.
Well, You know, I never imagined that I would be doing anything with radio. So as much as I loved Howard Stern and enjoyed listening to all the podcasts, it just never, it never crossed my mind until you put it out there. So,
right, right.
You know, I really appreciate all that you've done for me. And hopefully we'll continue to be friends after this is all over.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what do you want to do?
Take a break?
I guess so, huh?
Who's our first guest, or we just have one guest tonight?
We have just Ali Amini. You have his number, or do I need to give you his number?
Yeah, you're going to have to give it to me. You're going to have to message it to me.
You got to call him, obviously. He's in Bahrain.
Uh-oh, I'm going to have to use Penny Talk to call him. Wait, where's my Penny Talk phone number?
Man,
I don't have his.
He's getting up very early in the morning to do the show. I'm a little concerned because I told him 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we're still got 20 minutes till that. So hopefully he'll answer the phone right away. If not, we'll have to come up with some news stories or something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just give All me, right. give me his,
just give everybody a little background. I'll give by a few more minutes. Ali Amini is like the Dave Palumbo or the Hani Rambod of, the Middle East. And he helps people with contest diets, but I'd say his specialty is drugs. You know, anabolic steroids, all the auxiliary drugs and, growth hormone, insulin, this kind of thing. He's also known for helping these athletes pass drug tests.
Right.
Because in the Middle East, if you're an IFBB competitor, which is an amateur competitor over there, all the shows, all the major shows are drug tested. Not natural. That's a big difference. They're not natural. They're drug tested. So it's pretty much assumed that all these guys are taking drugs. I mean, they all are. I mean, I don't have to even say it's for sure. But they all pass the drug tests. And how do they do it? They go to see a guy like Ali, and he'll help them.
Right. And so he told people on my show on Superhuman Radio what he uses.
Yes, you can go back and listen to Superhuman Radio, yeah. Or maybe we'll ask him. But he's an expert with this. He knows all the how long the half-lives of our little drugs are, so he can design a steroid cycle that is optimal for an athlete preparing for a contest that knows they're going to be drug tested at a certain day.
Right.
Which takes a little more finesse and the skill than just setting up a cycle for somebody who just wants to look the best they can.
Right. Right.
So he's going to come on. The reason we're really having him on, and I haven't had him on before now. Is because there was just the IFBB World Championships, Amateur Championships in the Middle East in Azerbaijan. Is that how you say it?
Azerbaijan, yeah.
Yeah. I looked at the pictures of some of these guys, and some of these guys are just in ridiculous condition. There's all my – if you want to see one of them on my Facebook page, you can see there's a picture of the front side chest and a back double bicep of the guy who won the overall, a guy from Morocco. And this guy, I mean, you just don't see people like this as far as condition-wise. I mean, the only guy I can think of who's a pro that gets in this kind of condition is Eduardo Correa. Other than that, I mean, you just don't see a lot of it. There's even the guys who didn't win, there's a majority of the guys are in great condition. So I'd like to find out from Ali why these guys are reaching this level of conditioning that we haven't seen in America for, you know, a few decades.
Right.
So what's the difference? What are they doing over there that they're not doing over here, you know?
Right.
So we're going to get on the Middle East's foremost expert on this and see what he has to say.
Okay, so we're going to take a commercial break now.
Yes.
And then when we come back, we'll have Ali Amini on from Bahrain. So stay tuned. You're listening to Off Topic Radio. We'll be right back. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right, Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging is included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at aaronsingermanfitness@hotmail.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Hi, it's Fitz with
Welcome back to Off Topic Radio.
Hey, was he awake?
Yeah, it didn't sound like it. Ali, you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. Yeah, he's there.
We called you early. You probably just woke up, huh?
Yeah.
I think I did. I wake you up, Ali?
I just woke up like 10 minutes ago to go to the bathroom. So, yeah, I was awake a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Okay, good. Good. What time is it over there? I know it's early as hell.
It's 4:45 a.m.
Oof!
Time to
I'll
time to get up
early anyway. Don't
yeah,
you?
It's time to get up. Time to get up.
Yeah. You notice, Carl? There's a little delay with.
Yeah, and that's because of how far away he is. But that's okay. Just after you ask a question, give him a moment to answer. Ali, you came on my show on Superhuman Radio once and talked about the masking agents that athletes use, and I know Aaron wants to talk to you tonight about the fact that the athletes. Abroad. Well, where was this competition, Aaron?
Azerbaijan?
Azerbaijan.
Okay. And Aaron was saying how all of the athletes look amazing. They're all ripped to shreds, amazing conditioning.
Well, not every one of them. There's still, of course, there's exceptions, Carl, but in general.
Why is that?
Well, mainly, I got asked this question by Steve Blackman as well when I was at Arnold this year. The main reason is, I guess, because the quality of the stuff that we get here is much better than what you guys get in the States. And even the stuff that they get over in Europe is much better than what they get in stuff. And I've even heard that a lot of the top elite Mr. Olympia people get their stuff from Europe. So that's the main reason, I guess, these guys look good. Plus the consistency that they stay in. I mean, the guys that you see in top shape, these are the people who don't know what is an off season, what is a break, what is taking off time from training. So they just continue and do what they're doing. So consistency is the key taking them to this stage.
So you mean that these guys, a lot of them who get into this kind of condition, are always in good shape?
Yeah, I mean, this is the genetic side of the whole combination. A lot of the people that come usually from Africa are in much better condition than the guys who are from, like, let's say, Eastern Europe or Western Europe. But then again, you got the people who are from Southeast Asia. They come with more size, but they lack the condition, so they got to work harder for it. So I think the key to this part is the tribes that they come from, or the segment of the world that they come from. So that actually defines the genetic aspect of if they are type of people that get in condition faster or can gain size faster. Or
so what you're saying, Ali, is that the Middle Eastern guys genetically are more predisposed to being lean?
Not lean, but more muscular than the rest. So some of them, I mean, the Middle Eastern who are actually from a white color skin can gain size easier than the others, but then getting into condition is harder for them. But once they get into condition, they look superior to the rest.
Huh. Well, let's go back to the gear, what you were saying. In America, it seems like you think the difference is because all the gear that they're getting in the Middle East is human grade, so they know what they're getting?
No, most of them are not human grade. Certain things you cannot get in human grade, but they get it usually from Southeast Asia, and that's a place where people have good labs and try to make like good products, especially in the beginning. When a company is formed, usually they make stuff with high concentration and sometimes even higher than what's mentioned on the label, just to make a name for themselves. And certain companies sort of drift after that to reduce the amount into half, and that's the part where they make a lot of money. But the word is already out, this product is good and it works well. So, like, you see a company coming out for the first couple of years, they got a really good product, and then it's the same thing, same box, same labeling, but they just reduce the amount of the, I mean, they reduce the concentration of the substance, so it sort of becomes weak.
But so are there as many of these underground labs in the Middle East as there are here in the United States?
Yeah, it's the Far East mainly. But it gets into the Middle East easily.
But in the Middle East, it's mostly human grade, I don't get it.
No, we can get some human grade stuff like growth hormone. You can get it like usually easily in a lot of the countries. Certain kinds of testosterone, you can get them again easily. When it's really not available, so this is the stuff we get it from. For is trenbolone as well. Well, you cannot get pharmaceutical grade trenbolone, so.
So you're accounting the condition of these guys. Like, what's the guy who won the overall? What's his name?
Mohamed Touré.
Mohamed Touré. So the condition you see on him is a combination of, in your opinion, is a combination of his genetic profile and the drugs that he's taking?
Yeah, let's say the good quality drugs that he's taking, because everybody's taking drugs, but it depends on the quality. And plus, this guy is Moroccan. So Moroccans are usually known for having tight skin and big bodies. So that's what you're seeing, actually, in this guy. I mean, this guy, the first time I saw this guy was in 2005. I did a show in Saudi Arabia and brought over Melvin Anthony to do the guest posing. So he was there. He did the, there were like three weight categories, so he did the highest, and then he won the overall as well. And even Melvin was shocked on how this guy looks. But now he looks, let's say, 40% better than what he used to look. Now, this guy competed this year in the heavyweight, and last year he competed in the light heavy. The thing that happened was last year he was afraid of the doping test. So what he did was he came in light heavy, and he placed second. But this year, from the looks of it, he didn't care about the testing. So he just came in full force and this is how he looked.
So you mean because of the testing last year, he came off all his stuff a few weeks in advance, and because of coming off a few weeks in advance, he lost enough weight to not make the class?
Pounds, yeah, because he came off the stuff, he lost 25 pounds. And there was another show after that in Bahrain, like a month and a half, he put the 25 pounds back again. Won the show and won the overall as well.
Wow, it just goes to show you how much difference the drugs make. 25 pounds in a few weeks because of that. That's crazy.
In 6 weeks, yeah. Yeah, because he didn't build up that. The muscle was there. Now, the amount of muscle that you build is aligned with the amount of stuff that you take. So due to the fact that he stopped a lot of stuff prior to the show, he lost that amount of muscle that was aligned with that amount of gear.
Let's talk about that. What is, Ali, what is a lot of gear for these guys? What is somebody in Saudi Arabia, or in this guy's case, Morocco, what is a lot of gear for him?
The thing is that the proper way of taking gear is like, let's take testosterone for instance. Like, if you take 500 to 1 grams of test a week, you can do magic with that. But when they try 500, they see it's good. They say, let's bump it to 750. They go to 750, they gain more, so they go to 1,000, and they gain more, then 1,250, then 1,500, and they just, increase the amount. But these guys are, I know this guy because he's very afraid of taking stuff. Even once I spoke to him about oxymethylone and all, and he was like, no, I don't want to destroy my kidney, even though he was taking like 2 menstruals a day, but oxymethylone was like scary for him because, all the things they read. Mm-hmm. So, they don't take the amount that the pros take in the States, but the amount they take is fairly high compared to the people who are just starting, like with the local champions.
Right.
So the local champions are like sticking to like a total steroid use of a gram to 1.5. These guys would go up to like 3 grams total.
3 grams total.
So, yeah.
And in the off season, are these guys are they sticking with that around that amount?
No, in the off season, a lot of them just stop the stuff and just continue training and take a moderate amount of carbs in their diet and they just continue trying not to get fat. But a lot of these people even stop. I mean, these guys are not so educated. And this is a guy who's a trainer in Saudi Arabia, actually. The Moroccan guy, Mohamed Chouri, is a trainer in Saudi Arabia. And he takes off, but he continues training. They never stop training. They take off cycle. Like, they do a cycle for like 3 or 4 months. They take off for a couple and then go back again, and it's like that.
Now, let me ask you, Ali, you talked about this before on Dave's show, and I think this is very interesting that the countries like Saudi Arabia and some of the other countries support bodybuilding to the extent that they basically have these guys on salary, right?
They get paid?
Yeah, but it's not Saudi Arabia. It's the other countries at all. Saudi Arabia don't pay anything for that.
Give us an example. Carl, they're getting – that's why a lot of these guys like this gentleman may not go to the pro league, IFBB pro league, because they would make more money. They're making more money where they're at.
Jesus.
So explain that to Carl.
Well, who pays them?
Okay, now, it's the government.
So the government supports bodybuilding or all sports. Is it just one of the sports that they support?
Yeah, no, they support all sports, but it depends on the country and what sports they're leaning towards. So, Saudi Arabia doesn't pay them much, and neither does Morocco. So this guy is a Moroccan who's working in Saudi Arabia, so most probably he has a better chance in making more money by becoming a pro. So he might turn pro. I'm not sure about that yet, but he might do it. But you got countries like, the upcoming guys that you see them in the past couple of years in the World Championship and the Asian Championship were the guys from Oman.
Huh.
Now, the Omani government just started, supporting the bodybuilding sport. So that's why you see a lot of people are becoming champions and showing up in good condition. But it's not that they just made up champions in a couple of years. These are people who have been training for the past 20 years but never got the chance to compete. Now they're getting a chance. And if they win, they get, very good rewards.
They get, performance bonuses, basically.
Yeah, it's like if you win a world championship, you get this amount of money, and if you're selected for the team, you get, this much. This much is, $5,000 a month, just to prepare throughout the year. And when they win, let's say an Asian gold medal is worth somewhere around, for a month, $50,000 to $80,000, and if they win the world, it's like $100,000 to $150,000.
See, Carl?
Yeah, man. That's amazing. So they're treated like real athletes. Bodybuilders are treated like real athletes.
Yeah.
Like football players, basketball. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, but that didn't happen in the States, because in the States you guys don't actually have a federation that's backed up by the government. Plus, there is a law that says amateurs cannot get paid. But it's not a fine to pay an athlete. So, a lot of people are just trying not to pay the amateur athletes by that rule. But there's nothing that says that if you pay an amateur athlete, you're gonna get fined or you're gonna get sued. So,
right.
A lot of these guys don't go into the pro league and compete with Jay Cutler and all these other guys, although they're pros here, because they think it would be financially a bad move for them?
Because they don't know how the shows are run. A lot of these people, they don't know how the judging system is. Now, 99% of the people who compete in the world championship, they don't know how the judging system goes. And the problem with that is they just train and they take bodybuilding as like it's a sport that you just train and get on stage, and that's it. They didn't look into other aspects of it.
But because this guy here, I mean, Ali, that he did that won recently, he would be a competitive pro.
Yeah, I mean, with this condition, he can be a top 10 Olympian easily.
Yeah.
But when you look at guys who actually win the overall championship at the world, well, they can easily be top 10, depending on the lineup, even top 7 by the same condition.
That's crazy. Now, Ali, the condition of these guys is obviously better, but you don't see a lot of these guys that are, on stage at 260, 270. You never see something like that. Why is that? Why aren't these guys getting
No, he was 217. This guy was 217 on stage.
217?
Yeah, 217.
I'm saying 270.
No, you won't find guys with
Are you saying 217 pounds or 270 pounds?
17,
yeah.
Yeah.
He was 217. I'm asking Ali why we don't see any guys who are like Jay Cutler and Kai Greene size. We don't ever see any guys that are 270.
Right. Okay. Right.
Because, as I said, they don't go that high of dosage on the steroids. So that's why this is the limit that they reach. Like, you see the amount of muscle on a person's frame? Like, if you take Jay Cutler as a benchmark and consider that 100, these guys reach up to 70 only. Because they don't take that much drugs. I mean, naturally, nobody can do even 40% of that.
But of what Jay Cutler is doing?
Yeah. But then again, it depends on how much drugs you're taking. So that's the factor that actually determines on what percentage you reach.
Now, let me ask you, Ali. I wanted to know, because of these guys' condition, what kind of diuretics are they taking? Are they doing Lasix, or what are they using?
Well, you'd be surprised. Some of them just step on stage without even taking diuretics.
Really?
Yeah, because
they're in good condition already.
At the weigh-in, you saw those guys at the weigh-in. Most of the guys at the weigh-in, they don't take anything. I mean, they usually keep it after the prejudging or a little bit before the prejudging, so.
I wanted to also ask Ali what the coloring. Obviously here in the States, Dream Tan is not allowed. And me and you talked about this yesterday or the day before yesterday about Dream Tan. What is the deal? Why do these guys look better at the weigh-in than they do on stage? I don't understand that.
Okay, first of all, let me give props to Muhammad Mohsen, who is the owner of Dream Tan. He has very good products, but the problem is people don't know how to use it. Now, the way these guys come in is they apply the Dream Tan cream or the clay form of the Dream Tan on their bodies and sort of spread it with their hands, and that usually covers a lot of the fiber and the small veins and sort of reduces the level of condition. So that's why you see a lot of people looking actually better at the weigh-in than the pre-judging, which is not, but due to the fact that the color is applied, you see a lot of things disappearing.
Carl, are you familiar, Carl, with Dream Tan?
No. Does it have like Preparation H in it or something?
No, Dream Tan is like when you see guys on stage at the pro in the pro league, I mean, you see even the amateurs here, they don't allow it. So you see mostly Pro Tan or or Jan Tan, or now they've Liquid Sun Rays, which is almost like a paint. And what Dream Tan is, it's like a gold clay almost.
Really? How do you apply it?
It's very, very popular in Europe and the Middle East. And what Ali was saying is that when they use it, how they apply it, it literally, it's like clay. It covers up a layer of, you know, it almost blurs the definition.
Really?
I'm sure you've seen gold bodybuilders.
Yeah, I have seen them. How do they apply it if it's like a clay? Is it like a mud where you rub it on?
It's like a cream. They just spread it over the body and then sort of like hit it with their palms to just spread it evenly around the skin. But that's not the right way to do it. I mean, they take like one container, which is around 50 cc, and like use it for 170 pound bodybuilder. And there are people who are like in the over 200 and 220 pounds, they use like a container and a half. But the right way to do it is what the owner did, Muhammad Mohsin, with Mo Benoot, if you guys remember.
Yeah, I remember.
The 2009 Ironman.
He died, didn't he?
Okay. He used one third of that amount. So he used one third of that amount for a guy who actually was like 235 pounds. So if you look at his color, he looks very good. And people were propping his color. That was Dream Tan number two. The same Dream Tan that everybody uses in the amateurs. But they just don't know how to apply it.
So what you're saying is that it's just a matter of how they're applying it, not the actual Dream Tan.
Exactly. Yes, because I used to think the problem was the Dream Tan. And I spoke to him once, the owner, and I told him, like, I think the product is not that good and things like that. And then he explained to me that people don't use it properly, and he told me that he did for this guy, and this is the amount that he used. So even I was shocked, I mean, about the amount, but you shouldn't use a lot.
Well, I know, you know, here, obviously, we don't see, you know, when we do see it here, they obviously do it wrong. We had a guy, I think Robert Petrakowicz, I believe, was the guy who did it, used it recently, like at the New York Pro, and he looked horrible.
Really?
It was all
clumpy looking?
Yeah, well, it can really blur everything. It's distracting almost. You know who did it? What's the guy's
name? I've seen athletes who look gold, like they had gold paint on them, and so
That's what it is. Carl, you want to go to a break right now?
Yeah, we could do that.
Come back with, because I got some more general questions.
And then we also have to do shout outs too. Okay?
Yeah, we'll do shout outs, and then we'll ask the general questions about what Ali thinks about certain drugs and, you know, growth hormone, insulin usage, etc.
Okay, you're listening to Off Topic Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Speciesnutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Okay, listen to me. I'm gonna ask you one time nicely.
I need your clothes, your boots, your motorcycle. I need your clothes, your boots, your motorcycle. I need your clothes, your boots, your motorcycle.
I like this song. I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle. That's funny.
You heard that was Arnold at the beginning from Terminator 2.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, that's
like,
right.
What was the beginning? I need to... It was Arnold, his voice.
I need your clothes, your boots, your
motorcycle.
That's
from Terminator 2. Remember he walks into the bar?
Yeah.
Naked, and he ends up taking the guy's clothes?
Yeah, that's great. You want to do some shout-outs before we get back to the interview?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'll lower the music a little bit.
Or you already have him up?
Huh?
You already have him pulled up, or you need me?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I was
all right,
prepared.
Here you go. I got it.
I was ill prepared.
Ready?
Yeah.
First of all, I want to give a shout-out to Mike Zeltzer. I'm actually staying with him in Florida for the Fort Lauderdale Pro Show next or the week after next. But I want to give him a shout-out. It's his 40th birthday. So
oh, cool.
Make sure I remember
that. And he's also known as what? The math teacher? What is
the
he?
Algebra wizard.
Algebra
the
wizard,
math
yeah.
teacher.
Yeah.
The algebra wizard. But he is a math teacher. So anyway, that'll be fun, Carl. It's an all-girls show in Fort Lauderdale.
Cool.
G. Davis, Green Machine 23, Risk Taker, The Physical Therapist, our music director, GX, Genesis, Medium Extreme, Sally Ann, Big Barry Bell, Past Genetics, RETWA, Retwa, Kenny Cola, KZ, Michael K. Scott, Asian Beef, Contaminated, Wolfgang, Admiral Johnson, Keith Allen, The Big King, Spritz Zero, Yukon Crazy, that's Adam, Ving, Alaska Muscle, Dropshot 001, Jer, J. Daniels, Fatback Gold, Big Nut, Ryan Bracewell, the new host of the Power Hour, 00 Gordo, Big Dog 19, Minimal Pat B, Lay It Down, TP88, PTB, Evon, Dan Kennedy, Boost Attic, Rich, Aussie Muscle, Rambo 2, Buff Guy.
Very cool.
Yep. So.
And you know what? This is a monumental
show. Also, a special
show.
Shout out for some of our Get Big friends, Vince Goodrum, and formerly Method GNA, currently Unsung. There's a bunch of other guys too, but
and of course, and obviously, in memory of Original Sin,
right? Of course,
who, you know, it's amazing. Anyway, all right,
people live and die in 2 years. It's crazy.
I know. It's like, how do you do that? Anyway, all right, let's get back to the interview with Ali Amini from Bahrain. Are you still there, Ali?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay, good.
Carl, you have a question for Ali before I start?
Yeah, earlier he said something about some of the Middle Eastern guys actually being able to be more muscular Didn't he say that a minute ago?
He said genetically they're more muscular.
I always think of the African American athletes being more muscular. I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Aaron? I mean, you think these guys from the Middle East?
Let me call this break it in two parts. I mean, okay. I discussed this with Aaron before the show, but I think maybe for a certain way did we try to avoid saying that, but let me just put it in an easier way. The Africans their receptors respond better compared to the rest of the people to, let's say, to gear or to high protein or to building muscle.
Right.
Now, for getting in condition, for the black people, it's much easier. For gaining size, for the white people, it's easier. Okay?
Interesting.
Now, what happens with Moroccans is Moroccans are
a hybrid. They're
Africans.
Hybrid. Yeah, right. They're hybrid.
they're white Africans. Yeah. That's why this is easy.
Very interesting. I've never thought of it that way. That's very interesting.
You know, we were just trying to avoid those kind of, let's say, differentiation, so nobody would call us racist, but this is the actual fact.
Right. Right. Interesting.
Yeah. So that I guess that's how it breaks down, Carl.
No, that is.
You're right. I don't normally think of Middle Eastern guys as muscular people.
No, I know.
Generally, if you think of black people, I think are generally muscular. And Jewish people are very unmuscular.
I don't know about that.
You think Jewish people are muscular?
Well, okay. By saying Jewish people, you really can't say Jewish people.
I'm just joking.
Jewish
is a religion.
Right.
You have
German Jews, you have Russian Jews, you know, so it's not Jewish people. It's really where their real origin is first, you have to look at.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm kidding. Okay. I have another question. Let's talk about some general usage. Ali, to get some opinions from you.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed, what do you think of dieting while using insulin?
Well, if you can control it right, now the problem with people is a lot of people are afraid of insulin. And certain protocols are followed, but there is nothing called as I give my protocols to some people, and then people come up and say, other trainers, they just come up and say, this is Ali Amini's way, but this is my way. So the way that he does is exactly what I do, but he doubles the amount of carbs. So there is no Ali Amini way or Miller Sarchak way. It's how the insulin works. That's the only way that you can use it properly. So they have to understand the timing, what type of insulin they're taking, how many times it peaks, and aligned with that, they have to give it sufficient amount of carbohydrates to keep it level.
But not too many because you don't want to start holding fat.
Exactly. If you do too many, you get fat. But if you do it the right amount, you can actually gain size while stay lean and vascular.
Are there a lot of people want us to ask non-bodybuilding questions, especially Big Barry.
Okay.
So let's try this one. Are there in the United States? There's a lot of men who are attracted to the bodybuilders, you know, the gay schmoes and so on. Do they have schmoes in the Middle East?
Yeah, but it's sort of more taboo here, so you see them more discreet than the Americans. So
because homosexuality there is frowned upon, correct? I mean, you could die in some Middle Eastern countries if you're caught as being a homosexual, they'll kill you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But mainly the Muslim countries.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Because it's a sin. It's a sin for, like, in our religion, it's a sin to lean towards the same sex. So
right.
That's why the consequences are even worse.
You know what I just thought of? I bet you they don't have many cross-dressers in Muslim countries because it's boring to put on a burqa. You know what I mean? It's like here in the United States, they have cross dressers, right? They put on the stockings, the red dress, da da da. And over there, they put a burqa on. Nobody can even tell you're a guy. You're under the hood. That's funny.
What do they call Ali?
They do that when they want to commit a crime.
What's that, Ali?
They do that when they want to commit a crime, not because they're like.
Oh, that's a good point. So, in other words, if you want to commit a crime, you put a burqa on, you act like you dress like a woman. Wow, that's smart.
Yeah, a lot of people did that, actually.
I bet they did.
So, like, do they rob banks in the Middle East like they do in the United States?
Not that much, and not in the way that the movies convey the message to them, but some people try, but it's like the rate is very low, like maybe, I don't know, maybe 1-2% compared to the States.
Right.
Maybe it has to do with this, you know, the security system, the police system. I mean, there are like retail shops and things like that, but nobody, I mean, has the guts to go to banks. So no,
they'll,
knowledge,
they'll,
no,
they'll kill you, Carl. The police have AK-47s over there.
Oh, I know. And isn't it true in some parts of the Middle East?
No, we got M16s, not AK-47s, M16s.
Sorry.
Isn't it also true in some parts of the Middle East that if you kill your wife, there's like legitimate reasons to kill your wife? Like if you find out that your wife is sleeping with another man and you go berserk and you kill her, they won't put you in jail for that.
No.
That, you know,
there is no law like that.
There is no law.
Like, people make up about mainly Muslims and Arabs, but
see,
that's not the way. There is a law. Even no matter what your wife does, there is a court, a religious court, then you go there and they follow the Quran, and there is nothing that says that you have the right to kill anybody. You can kill a traitor in a war. You can kill a person who's trying to invade your country or your home. But that's it. You cannot kill your wife or son.
See, this is good that we're clearing this up. Because
you can beat your wife, though, can't you?
Did you get that? He said you can beat your wife. Are you allowed to beat your wife and not go to jail?
Yeah, beating is different. The definition of beating...
As long as it's not a stick, bigger than your finger, right?
No.
Your wrist.
First of all, the beating is you can do it only with a stick, and it shouldn't be hit in places where a person has a lot of bones, so you can just hit her on, let's say, the glutes or the thighs. I mean, it has to be a place where it has a lot of meat, so the impact is not that much. But the whole idea of beating is the same way that you beat your son. It's like you want to tell her that she's doing something wrong and you're not happy with it, but nobody's forced to do that. I mean, the society changed, and if you have rights to do something, it doesn't mean you have to do it.
Right. And because people are people. I mean, let's face it. Everybody thinks that people in the Muslim countries are somehow different than we are. Everybody just wants to get through this life and have some joy in it. And people aren't going to go around beating people because the Muslim people are not just naturally sinister people. But obviously in those countries, if there's a problem, domestic dispute, and you strike your wife, they're not going to put you in jail for it. Right?
It depends on what type of strike.
Oh, okay. I mean, if I smack
like
a woman...
If you mess up her face, oh, no. If you mess up her face, they're going to put you in jail.
Ah.
And you're going to like, be sentenced for like 10 to 15 years.
It's not
that easy. Yeah.
Okay.
You get the stick, you hit him in the glutes or the legs, you can't hit him in the face.
Yeah, right. You can smack
him
in the face.
See, Carl, if you were woman-hating, Carl, you would have loved that.
I know. You know, I would have had some comments about that.
You beat the shit out of your wife with a stick.
Yeah. And she had a huge ass, so I would have never went to jail.
You'd had a lot of time.
Yeah, well, what you guys see is about Muslims and all. So I guess you just get the news about what the extremists are doing, which are not even considered Muslims by the Muslims, because they do a lot of things wrong, and they just, you know, they get discarded from the Muslim community.
Why, you know, but, let me ask you a question, Ali. I've been to the Middle East on business, and I've always been amazed that people there are just like people here. And you know, the media likes to promote that to the Middle Eastern people that, you know, the Americans are different, we're wrong, and they do the same thing here about the Middle Eastern people. Do the Middle Eastern people like the United States, or do they really hate, like, when they show you the videos of people burning flags and shit like that? Is that the general mentality there, or are they favorable to the United States?
Now, do you see the people that you got in the States, like, let's say, the rednecks and the other people who, like, they just hate Muslims or hate black people?
Right.
These are racist people. You got the same type of people here. Mm. Now, there are people who... But you're mixing up, Carl, with religion and the area. Now, Muslims, Jews, and Christians are 80% the same. The core of the religion is the same. There are certain, I mean, points that are different, the way of praying and the sequence of the chain of command and things like that, but eventually 80% of the religious are the same. Now, people hating certain people from different countries and all, problem is, the media. The media converts whatever they see fit to the people, and based on that, a lot of illiterate people, or let's say not highly educated people, they just get mesmerized by that and just hate, like, let's say, Americans, or they just hate Israel, or they just hate Jew people, or, I mean,
but it's propaganda.
Even though, see, now with Muslims, now what you see at the moment is that Muslims actually hate Jews because of what's happening in Israel.
Israel, right.
But if you look at it religiously, we can eat from Jew people, and it's not a sin. Because they slaughter the cattle exactly like the way we do.
Ah. I thought you meant you can eat Jew people and it's not a sin.
No.
You could eat a Jew on Wednesday, but not on Thursday night. Okay.
Yeah, so the first, when I went to New York, first of all, I met Jason Stern, and as soon as I saw myself, man, I want to go to a Jew restaurant and eat beef. So he took me to a Jew restaurant, he had corned beef and all, and that was okay, but that's not a sin in our religion to eat from Jew people, because the way they cook, the way they're kosher is the same as we are.
Interesting. Did you know that, Aaron?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
There's laws, kashrut, I believe it is. Okay. Laws of how to slaughter an animal humanely.
Right. You walk up to it, you go.
So what's a shohet, right?
You go, yeah, what is it called?
Shohet. Is that the name of the slaughterer, the blessed by the rabbi?
Yeah.
I think the humane
way to slaughter an animal is you rub its head, you say, this isn't going to hurt, it's going to be okay.
And then you get to trick him, Carl.
Yeah. No.
First of all,
you offer the animal food and drink, and then the knife has to be very sharp, and when you slaughter, you have to say in the name of God, and then you do it.
Oh, interesting.
And it has to be one stroke, too, Carl. You can't be cutting on them. It's one, that's it.
Right. Interesting.
And as Muslims call it, they call it halal, and as the Jew call it, they call it kosher. So it's the same word.
Interesting. So what do you offer?
Not to be mixed up, Carl, with challah.
Yeah, right. What do you offer an animal that's about to be slaughtered? I mean, do you offer them a sandwich and a glass of wine? Huh?
No. It's water and grass.
Okay. All right. So that's not too bad then.
If it's a cow, you offer him a hamburger.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, have a piece of a relative. Try this. Oh, that's funny. You know, it's amazing to me. The world would be such a better place if the media spent more time, instead of exposing diversity and focusing on that, exposing similarities. I tell you a funny story. I was out of town not too long ago, I had to get catch a flight at 6 a.m., so I had to get up at 4. And the cab driver that picked me up was dark. He pulled into the driveway of the house, and I swear to God, he got out of the car and he was wearing the white turban or whatever you call it, and the full long white, I don't know what you call it, but it's when you saw the people in Pakistan during, you know, the invasion of Pakistan, all the men wore these long white robes, I guess you would call it, you know, like a one piece, a singlet. You know?
That's what Indian Pakistanis and. Bengali people. Were.
Right. Okay. He had the black and gray beard. And when this guy picked me up, I got to be honest. At first, I'm thinking, wow, like, you know,
he's going to blow himself up.
No. No. What I was thinking was, wow, this guy is bold, because usually when you come to a country, you try to blend in, especially if there's potential for animosity for your kind. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to, like, hey, look, I'm Muslim, or here, you know, I'm from Pakistan. This guy was wearing the garb, and he was so kind. He was so nice. And the funny thing was that he was so respectful. And, you know, he asked me, is the music too loud? No, that's fine. And he didn't talk to me at all until I spoke to him. And then once I spoke to him, then he opened up and he started talking to me. And when I got out of the car, the trunk popped open, and I reached in to get my luggage, and he grabbed my hand. He goes, no. And he pulled the luggage out for me, and he wouldn't even look me in the eye. He looked down like that. You know, I left him a good tip too, because I wanted him to know, that I'm friendly just because of the way. So I made sure to leave him a really good tip. Like my fare was 20, and I think I left him a $10 tip. You know, I gave him like $30. And when he put the bag down at my feet, He didn't rise back up and look me in the eye. I said, thank you very much. I says, have a great day, because it was so early in the morning. And he nodded his head, thank you very much, and he didn't look me in the face. At first, I thought he didn't look me in the face because he didn't like me. You know, like, oh, I'm American or something. But then I realized it was probably like a sign of respect to him not to look directly at
him. Out of respect, yeah, that's what we do here, yeah.
I got to tell you, I have so much respect for this guy because he's come to a country where
Did you look him in the face?
Did I?
Shouldn't have.
I shouldn't have?
And you respected him.
No, well, I didn't know. What do I know? I'm fucking American. You know, what do I know? I mean, here you look in a guy's face, and if he doesn't, you know. But anyway, so I just simply let him go. But later, I thought about him when I was on the plane, and I thought, gee, I wonder if he planted a bomb in my luggage. No, I thought to myself, this guy has got real fucking guts, because he comes to the United States, and he knows that in the United States, there's a lot of negative propaganda about the Middle East. But he wears his clothes that he is accustomed to, and he's matriculated now. He's one of us, but he's kept his roots.
Was it a Friday?
It was a Monday morning.
Why would it happen on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, they're always like that. Even those Indians and Pakistanis who are in the Gulf countries, they wear the same thing. They don't lose their. What do you call the merits of their society? They always keep it with them. Even the type of food that they eat, the gatherings, the way they wear clothes, it's the same. But I think the main thing, Carl, that a lot of people are missing is we start as human beings. Then we go to the religion. Then we go to the nationality. The problem with people is, I mean, even the bodybuilders, that's the problem. They come on stage and then they think they rule the world. And they get cocky and people, I mean, they make a fan base because they have a good body, but then people hate them because they're like very arrogant and, you know, they got bad manners and things like that. I mean, when did you see a bodybuilder who receives an amount for guest posing and donates that to, let's say, an orphanage? Nobody.
Right.
But you see bodybuilders who actually do seminars, take that money and deposit it in a certain, let's say, charity fund, which actually ends up in his pocket. Not to the charity. There is no charity by that name. They just do that to avoid taxes. So this, I mean, a lot of these bodybuilders are so selfish that they forget that they're human beings. They think that they're bodybuilders. They should wear $200 t-shirts and go to the gym and train, or they should buy like $500,000 cars just to show off and have their image high.
Yeah, isn't that an exclusively American phenomenon? You know, you look at these television shows.
This is an international trend.
Is
All
it really?
The bodybuilders are the same. I mean. Yeah, especially the old generation. I mean, with the upcoming guys, I'm always trying to explain to them, you guys are human beings to begin with. Then you become bodybuilders. So whenever you step on stage, always keep in mind, you are just like any one of the spectators. So don't think that only because you won a gold medal, you're like king of the world. But that mentality is never going to go away, so I'm just trying to reduce that. But this is the problem. I mean, a lot of people hate the sport because of the people in the sport.
Yeah. What's that old say? Don't hate the player, hate the game. Yeah. I think everybody is just trying to. I think everybody is trying to get their little piece of fame in whatever sport it is, whether it's bodybuilding or whatever. And I think everybody kind of does what they think they have to do to look successful, at least. You know?
Hey, Ali, do the bodybuilders over there in the Middle East all smoke cigarettes?
Just before that, let me just say something. What Carl just said, he said, don't hate the player, hate the game. Now, I guess you guys know that my nickname is The Game. So what I always tell people is, don't hate the game if you're a bad player. What they're doing in this sport of bodybuilding is not right. Being cocky is not part of being a bodybuilder. So they're not playing the game right. So you should hate the players, actually.
Okay. Well, there we go. We
and about the smoking, yeah, I mean, they smoke cigarettes, not weed, but yeah, a lot of them smoke.
Yeah, cigarette tobacco is very, very popular there, right? I mean, cigarettes are very popular in the Middle East, just like it is China and Japan. Cigarettes are very popular in the Middle East.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them smoke, but then again, it's not an endurance workout, so, I mean, they can do their training without even getting bothered. Not that I'm promoting smoking, but, I mean, if you don't smoke, definitely better because, I mean, even the amount of oxygen that you carry in the blood becomes much more.
A lot of the bodybuilders here smoke weed.
Yeah, you know, it gives
so
you.
It's very hard here to get, and plus it's you can go to jail for it.
Really?
That's where they avoid that. I mean, even if that was allowed, they would have smoked that as well.
They don't no alcohol there either, right?
No alcohol, but it's not so popular as the way. I mean, you cannot go to a supermarket and buy a beer. It's not like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Muslim countries call Muslims not supposed
beer,
to drink
alcohol.
I didn't know that. It's pretty boring.
No, they're not allowed.
And they mean you can't have a glass of wine with
dinner?
Believe
me, it's not boring. It's just 24/7. You know what you're doing. That's the benefit of it.
I mean, you can't have a glass of wine with dinner.
No.
Wow.
But we're not used to that actually. So
yeah.
It's not. I mean, it doesn't make any difference to us because we're not raised by having a glass of wine during dinner. So. Nothing's missing for us.
They don't know what they're missing, so it's no big deal. You didn't know that, Carl?
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Well,
do we want to bid Ali goodnight, and then we'll come back, we'll take a break and come back and we'll say goodbye to everybody, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, that's fine. Ali, thank you very, very much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And thank you for waking up so early to talk to us.
Sure, no problem. It was great being on the show.
Okay. Take care of yourself, brother.
Thank you, Ali. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right.
Bye. Yeah, the delay is tough to overcome back and forth. It makes the conversation hard because you end up stepping on the guest and all that sort of stuff.
You can't interrupt him because if you interrupt him, he's not hearing the interruption until halfway and he's into his sentence.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. And I feel like we had this song before from... let's see. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
I guess the change in my pocket wasn't enough. I'm like, fuck you, and I fuck her too. Said if I was richer, I'd still be with you. Now ain't that some shit? And although that's pain in my chest, I still wish you the best with the fuck you.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. speciesnutrition.com.
Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. speciesnutrition.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
What the hell song is this? I don't know.
I heard that. You never heard this song before?
Oh, No Stopping Us Now.
Let's see, let it play for a second. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought I recognized it.
It's an old breakdancing song from a breakdance movie, I guess, or something. But there's no words to it. So let's put the words in it. Yeah, baby. Fuck you. I feel drunk tonight. I really do. I'm so friggin' exhausted. I've been getting up at 4 a.m. every single day for the past, like, 3 weeks.
Why?
Because I have so much friggin' work to do.
What do you do at 4 in the morning?
4 in the morning, I start answering emails. I've got a company in the U.K. that I'm negotiating the production of a radio show with, and it's 7 hours later there, and so I get up early in the morning to catch them. 4 a.m. is 7 a.m. on the East Coast. Well, no, it's now 6 a.m. on the East Coast. But, I mean, it's just I get up. I go to sleep at 9:30 every single night I'm in bed, and I'm out by 9:30 the latest. And then I just naturally wake up about 3:54, 3:57, and I get up and make myself some green tea, and I start working. Open up the laptop, start answering emails, working on, you know, adding things to the website. I got to put banner ads up, writing spot copy. It's like, I'm exhausted right now. It's local time is actually 7:40.
And is it 7:40?
Yeah, because
because you didn't move back.
Arizona is so fucked up.
They don't move back before.
No, they don't change their time. So it's like, half the
How
year,
did that happen? Did they just not agree to it? Like, yeah. We're not doing this.
Oh, they're fucking idiots here, man. They're idiots. They you know, it's like, so half the year, the East Coast is 3 hours ahead of me, and half the year, the East Coast is 2 hours ahead of me. And same thing with Pacific, half the year on Pacific time and half the year on Mountain time.
So
and
literally, like, just, you know, in driving distance, it's an hour earlier, just like 2 hours earlier in California.
Right. No, it's an hour, right now it's an hour earlier in California. An hour earlier. I keep the server. I keep my server on Pacific time because, you know, that's what I've always done. Everything's always been based on Pacific time, which totally fucking confuses me because my laptop is on Arizona time. So sometimes when I'm booking an appointment with somebody, I'm like, okay, we're doing this appointment. It used to be 1 o'clock Pacific. Now I got to remember it's 2 o'clock my time.
Plus, if you have to have somebody who's on Eastern Standard Time, you have to think about the difference now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's like, and it's fucking confusing. I the first week after they changed the time, I couldn't get it right. I was like calling guests back and go, oh, I'm sorry. No, it's 4 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock your time. Not, it's like, oh, fuck. I don't know why they do it here. I don't know why they do that, but they don't change their time. It's the same time all the time, and they don't recognize daylight savings time. And it's not like they couldn't take advantage of it because it gets dark now, you know, at like 7 o'clock here. So it would be great if they would have done the Pacific time thing.
Huh. Well, you know, they are, and I guess it doesn't really matter to you now, but they are doing it looks like they are doing the Houston Pro Show. I mean, the Houston Pro Show, the Phoenix Pro Show next year.
Is Stryker Solomon doing it again?
I don't think so. It's going to be later in the into the summer, which I found was interesting because it's so hot there in the summer.
Damn.
I thought it was great to have it in February because it was still, you know, relatively cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think it's going to be in July.
And that's like the hottest. July and August are murder. It's just murder. I mean, you know what? Yeah. I've been here since June of last year, and I will not miss the weather at all.
No, it's ridiculous over there.
Yeah.
And Houston's pretty bad too, though. You know, the pro shows next year, the schedule came out, I mean, not publicly, but it'll be out publicly soon. there's a lot of new shows next year. There's going to be a pro show in Germany, Carl. The FIBA will have a pro men's show attached to it. There'll be the new show in Great Britain. You know, Giles is helping put on that with Neil Hill and a few other people, I think. And then there's going to be the Australian show. So hopefully I'll get a chance to go do some of those, see some of those. There's a show in Spain also.
Yeah, cool, man. You'll be world traveler. You'll be a world traveler. So anyway, we have to say goodbye.
Yeah, what do you want? You want to take us out, Carl? You got something to say?
Goodbye.
Oh, come on. I know you're tired.
Nah, you know what? This has been a wonderful experience for me. It really has. I used this show.
You need to think of all the good times.
No, I am. I am. Listen to me. I used this show almost like a therapeutic session once a week to come on and vent and share a piece of myself with people, you know, what was going on in my life and so on. And I had a lot of fun. I really did. I didn't have to study science. I didn't have to talk about it. I could just be a jerk and use foul language and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, and everybody enjoyed it. And, it really was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I really, really did. And I made a lot of good friends. I mean, there's a lot of people that I know from the show now that, you know, email me sometimes or post on my Facebook and all that sort of stuff. And the sentiment is very touching. I mean, I have so many people that, you know, was so sad when I announced that I wouldn't be doing the show anymore. And I really didn't think that it would have that big of an impact. I just figured, you know, the show would just go on.
So, you think in a few months you'll miss the show?
Truthfully?
You don't think so, huh?
Nah. I mean, it's, you know what? I have so much work to continue doing tonight. And then tomorrow morning I have to fly out and at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I just wish I would have been done when Superhuman Radio was done today, and I could have got some of my work done, and I could have gone home, and that would have been it. I'm just stretched really, really thin right now. That's all I can tell you.
Well, if you ever find that you're wrong and that you you do miss it, you give me a call, and I'll let you be a guest.
Oh,
for long, you know, maybe a 30-minute segment or something.
There you go. I don't want to do too much. I wouldn't want to wear out my welcome. There you go.
No. So, you know.
So anyway, should we play Nigel for the last time? Hold on.
Play now. Yeah, absolutely.
Let me run it. We'll start it because it's a long song. I love this song. This song reminds me of spraying my hair with Nessels, which was or Nettles. It was called Nettles. It was a spray-on temporary color. I used to spray my hair with Black Orchid, which was almost like a blue-black, and then I would grease it with Alberto VO5, and I'd have a baby pin in my ear. And I would get on my Sportster and I'd ride into Manhattan and stop at CBGB's or the Mud Club or the Peppermint Lounge and drink and party and dance. And then around 3 o'clock in the morning, I would get on my motorcycle and I would go and ride to Tracks off Broadway, which was a little underground club.
Is this why you picked the song to play?
No,
this song
was from.
Why did you pick this song?
This was from the Clash album at that time.
No, I understand that, and I get all the other stuff. I'm saying, why did you pick this for our opening intro?
I just love this song. I always thought it was quirky and interesting. It just had an interesting beat.
I had heard it before, but now all this means to me is off topic. When I hear the song, I get hyped up.
Yeah, right.
Now it's time to go.
Time to do the show. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Forever, whenever I hear it, it'll always mean that.
Yeah, this reminds me of my punk rock era. I was really a punk. I mean, I loved that whole punk rock era. I really did. I enjoyed it. I don't remember a lot of it, but I know I had a lot of fun. And I had a lot of fun on this show, and, you know, all good things come to an end. Hopefully that's not totally true, but at least this is coming to an end. Yeah, I know, I just jinxed myself, didn't I? I enjoyed this for the run, 100 shows. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate everybody who listened and all the support they gave and putting up with my rants and all that sort of stuff. And I'll remember this forever. I really will.
Me too.
And this launched your career right here.
Absolutely.
You'll look back at this someday and think, wow, that's where it all started.
I guarantee that'll happen. Yeah. It will.
I'll be around the boards. You'll see me. And thanks for everybody that listened to the show. I really mean it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. 100 shows, hundreds of hours of radio. Thank you for listening.
There you go. Good night. Nigel just needs this help.